Matthew chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible and you need one, if you'll wave your hand, one of the ushers will bring you a Bible. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at the very last few verses, beginning in verse 28 down to verse 34. If you can look on with somebody or if you need a Bible, let us know. We'll get you one. Matthew chapter 8. If you're visiting with us today, or if you haven't been with us each week for the past few weeks, just would remind you that we have been going through Matthew, and we finished the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord Jesus Christ preached the truth, and then we saw him do a series of miracles where he healed some people. We saw him provide for some people. And now we come to the end of Matthew chapter 8, and after all of that, he gets in a boat, and he goes across the Sea of Galilee to the eastern side. And the Sea of Galilee looks kind of like an avocado if you looked at it on a map. And on the north is Capernaum and Bethany. That's where the Lord spent a lot of his time. But then over on the far right-hand side, the far east-hand side, there's a place over there that he's going to visit today. It's called the Gergesa, or the people that live there are called Gergesenes, and it's just a little city there on the side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes there, and just so you understand what happens, he leaves the place where he was, he goes there, he's there for a very short period of time, and the people ask him to leave. Why would someone do that? Oh, there's a better question. What did they choose instead of choosing him? And I got to ask each of us to think about that a little bit. What do we choose instead of Christ? What do we choose? And by the way, if you read the Word of God, you understand something. The Bible shows us the Lord Jesus Christ like nothing else can. So the way you treat your Bible is the way you treat Christ. Say, Pastor, I'm prompt to pull my Bible out every time I go to church, every now and then. The rest of the time, it's on the shelf. Christ is on the shelf with your Bible. Amen? Amen. If you want to have fellowship with the Lord, open the Word of God. Now, Pastor, I'm busy. Can you be too busy to spend time with Christ?
I don't know.
I don't understand that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the devil will try to get you too busy. He'll tell you this, he'll tell you that, but the devil's a liar. So these people that Jesus meets, they've got one obvious problem and then a not so obvious problem. And then we'll see what happens with all that here in just a minute. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 8. I'll read verses 28 through 34. We'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, a whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning that we have the pure Word of God that we can open and read and hear from, but Lord, we absolutely must have your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Lord, you know my mind could go 1,000 directions, but I pray that you would guide our thoughts and our words for these next few moments. Lord, help us to not be reluctant to proclaim the word of God, but help us to proclaim it with love and mercy and grace this morning. And I pray that folks would hear maybe something they've never heard before that would come from you, not from me. I pray that they'd make a decision that they need to make because of you, not because of me. I thank you this morning that we have the Bible. That's what matters. Help us to do it justice in these next few moments. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We pray, and you'll be seated. Thank you so much. Well, how many of you like pork? Bacon, yeah. Sausage. Brisket. What? You know what is good? Is a nice big slice of ham on a barbecue. Amen? That'll work. Well, if you like pork, don't move to Israel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, back in the Old Testament, when he gave the laws to the nation of Israel, he said, you can't eat pigs. Pigs don't chew the cud. There were two requirements for the animals that the Israelites ate. One of those was that they had to have a cloven hoof, which a pig does have, but they had to chew cud. A pig doesn't do that. So the Jew can eat beef, but no pork. So I got to ask you a question. Why would Jews be raising pork? Here's a question that we might ask. Why are we doing some of the things we're doing? Because we like what we get from it. They weren't raising it to eat. They were raising it to sell. They were probably selling it to the Romans. They were probably selling it to the other people. And so they were looking for the benefit. But they had a problem, and the problem these people had was, and it's described there, if you look with me in verse 28, there were, it says, two possessed with devils. And it describes the consequences of that. It says in verse 28, it says, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Just two. But there were apparently a lot of devils, because later we see him go into an entire herd of swine. Now this is an interesting word, possessed. What does that word possessed mean? You know, you possess your car, you possess your house. That means you own it. But these two didn't own themselves. Devils owned them. Devils possessed them. When I ask the question, what possesses you? Oh, you might think about that a little bit. If I was to say, what owns you? That's an interesting question. You know, what is it that you serve? I'm glad to see you in church today. Amen? Amen? Clearly this morning you love the Lord enough to come to his house, to hear his word, to sing praises to him, to worship him. Amen? To serve him. And you came, some of you came to teach, and some of you came to lead Sunday school and drive the bus and all those sorts of things. We came here for the Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving him enough to take time to be here, for making him most important in your life during this hour. But you know, he should possess us, amen? He should own us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what these devils did. They had these fellows. They were possessed, it says. And what did that do in their life? It says two or three things. First of all, they were coming out of the tombs. Why would a person choose to live around the dead? Yeah, so it still amazes me at Halloween how everyone's fascinated by death and they dress up like dead bodies, and people watch these TV shows about the walking dead and that sort of thing. You know, I think life's a whole lot more exciting than death, don't you? Why would people be interested in death? Just if you're going to be a Christian, don't wear that stuff that pictures death. Show Christ, amen? You don't have to identify with death, but you know the devil identifies with death. You know what the devil wants for you? He wants death. Yeah. Right now and forever. He wants eternal death. He wants to keep you out of heaven, but he wants death in your life right now. And the devil owned these two people, and so they hung around the dead. It says they were exceeding fierce. Oh, that could never happen today, Pastor. I don't know. What about Walmart last week? Exceeding fierce. Now, I don't want to ruin a good story here, but let me tell you what happens at the end of the story. Some people had to make a decision. Would we rather have Jesus or something else? our nation, in its public school system, has said, we do not want God in our schools. We will not allow His Word to be possessed or read by our teachers. We will not allow His commandments to be on our walls. We will not allow prayers to be made to Him. God, you are not welcome in the public school. So what would replace God? Of all the misinformation I read this week, one person had a headline that made some sense. He said, the problem in our nation right now is not guns. It's angry young people that have turned violent. Because when the devil possesses you, you're going to be a violent person. Because the devil's a violent person. So, well, Pastor, I really just want to kind of walk the fence. I don't want to get too close to God. I don't want to get too close to the devil. Folks, there's no walking the fence. You're going to be on one side or the other. The Lord says you either gather or you scatter. Amen? All right, so look at the passage again. It says these were possessed with devils. You can start to picture some things. They lived in the tombs. They were exceeding fierce. No man could pass that way. The people, the Gergesenes, had just decided there's a place you can't go. I was in Mexico, I don't know, many years ago with Steve Harris. Driving down the road, came to an intersection in the road out in the middle of the country, dirt road, and stopped. And he said, as if I would ever be there again in my lifetime, but he said, if you ever come here, don't go down that road or you won't come back. Because that's where the drug lords are. When you get to this intersection, go that way. Thank you. I'll try to remember that. I'm not going to go to Mexico without my helper this next time, so I don't make a mistake like that. There's some places that you can go, and there's some places you can't go. There's some places in your life you can go, and you might never return. Drugs, alcohol, immorality, things that possess us. That's what's happening here in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 28. So Jesus came along. Now watch this. The possessors, the devils. You can say a lot of bad things about devils, can't you? But I'm going to give them a compliment. They knew who Jesus was. Look at what they said in verse 29. It says, they cried out. They weren't even ashamed to say it. They said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Right, let's break that down into two pieces here, the last part first. That's the question of the ages. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Everyone says, well, you got to respect all religions. I do not have to respect a religion that blasphemes my Savior. But a religion says he's not the Son of God, he's just a prophet or a good man or an example. That's blasphemy. I do not have to respect that. I'm not obligated to say, oh, that's nice that they have religion. No, if they don't have the truth, their religion is of no value whatsoever. And that explains why they go around killing people all the time, because they don't have the truth. But the devils knew he was the Son of God. Now let me ask you this question, do you? Do I know who Jesus is? Now listen to what they said first. They said, what have we to do with thee? Why are you here? But more than that, they had already made a decision. Can't go into the details of that, but sometime before, when Satan fell, a great number of angels followed him. They'd made their decision, and they had decided, no, we do not want God's will. We do not want God's authority. We do not want God. We want something else. We don't want to have anything to do with God. We're going to do it our way. Sounds like the world today, doesn't it? Now, Lord, let me make this clear, please. Today, you have to make that same decision one way or the other. Someone says, I want all the benefits of Christianity. Well, it would be great to go to heaven and to have a good life and have a God to answer your prayers. But I also want to be over here in the world with the pigs and the devils. You got to make your choice. Amen? Which one's it going to be? It's not all you can be a Christian and have what the world has to offer and all the junk in the world and all the filth. Have you ever seen pigs? I don't know how we eat those things. I used to work in a dish room. I was talking to somebody about this. We used to work in a dish room when I was in college. And at the end of the night, there'd be two or three big trash cans sitting on the back porch, the back dock of this cafeteria. And this guy in a beat up truck would back up and he would put those cans of slop, which was just basically whatever nobody wanted to eat. And he'd put those cans of slop in the back of that truck and he'd drive off out into the country to his pigs. And when he got there, he'd pour that slop on the ground and those pigs would just love it. Ew. Have you ever seen pigs? They like the mud. I can't tell you all the disgusting things they will eat and they will do. Pigs are disgusting. Folks, sin is disgusting. You say, well, Pastor, it makes me feel good. Not altogether. There may be a moment, but then there's a price to pay. You want to see what the price is? Read the news. Fella killed himself Friday night because of sin. How about that? The Bible was right. The wages of sin is death. Well, I could get away with it, somebody says. No, the devil lied to you and told you that. You got to decide how you're going to live your life, young person. What are you going to do? Say, oh, I like these guys at school. They're so cool. They use bad words and they tell bad stories and they do bad things and I want to be like them. The end is horrible. The demons knew Jesus was the Son of God. And they said, what have we to do with you? Why are you here? We already rejected you. Why are you here? And listen to this. This is good. They said, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They knew something else. The demons knew hell is real. Torment. Read Luke 16. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments in the flame. All those people that tell you hell's not real, one day they'll know the truth. Amen. Hope they find out before then. Now the demons knew there was a time of judgment coming. You and I should know that. Amen. There's a time of judgment coming. So you got the possessed. You got these two men that ran with the dead and hung around there. They're fierce and you can't pass by them. You got the possessors, the demons. There's another group of people in this passage. And they are the pig keepers. Let's show you some things about them. It says, the devils went into the herd of swine, and I won't read that passage again in verse 32, and the swine ran down into the water and drowned. And so now, in verse 33, the pig keepers, they that kept them, says they fled. That's interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ just healed two men that were filled with demons. And people ran away from him. What were their eyes on? They said, oh, we got a problem. The pigs are dead. Let me say this just very clearly. If Christ comes into your life, some pigs are going to die. If that doesn't make sense to you, let me explain it to you. There's some things in your life, if you are lost, that are filthy and they're disgusting. And God calls it sin. You can label it whatever you want. It's ugly. It's deathly. It is anything that you can describe as being abominable. The Bible uses a word. It is sick. If Christ comes into your life, some pigs are going to die. That stuff's going to go away. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't imagine what I would be. You can't either. What you would be if Christ hadn't come into your life. Young person, if you're here and you're still thinking about whether or not to receive Christ, you got to make a choice. Pigs or Jesus, which one? I want the pigs and Jesus. It doesn't work that way. So the pig keepers, they ran into town, basically. And they ran into the city there in verse 33. And they told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. So if you get that straight, here's what they did. Their first priority was, we just lost all the pigs. And they're sad about that. Oh, by the way, this man cast the demons out of those two guys that used to be up there in the hills. They're okay now. Now, if I got the news that two people that were demon-possessed just got healed and a bunch of pigs died, good stuff, amen? That's not what happened. Look at verse 34. It says, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now, you and I would like to think that's a good thing. It's good to meet Jesus, amen? Good to hear about him. What can you say about Jesus? One of the mistakes I think we make sometimes is we tell people how good God is, but we don't tell people how God is good. In other words, we say, God's good to me. You need to explain that sometimes. You need to explain the things that God's done in your life. And I understand God's still working on us, amen? I'm sure glad he's not done yet. I hope this is not the finished product. Oh no, that would not be good. But he will work on you, won't he? And if you will cooperate with what he is doing, he can work on you much more effectively. He can change your heart. Why would it be that the devil, think about what the devil does. The devil constantly tries to keep us out of the Word of God, out of prayer, and out of church. And sometimes he succeeds, I'm ashamed to say. Why would the devil be so worried about reading the Bible, praying, and going to church? Because, folks, those are things God can use to change our life. Amen. If you chose to be here today, then basically what you said was, I don't care what the devil said. I know that the devil's got entertaining things he could show me. There's probably some great YouTube video you haven't seen but 10 times, or I don't know, but you chose, I want to come to God's house. It's too bad the whole city didn't make that choice. Amen? And oh, by the way, not every church is God's house. Let's just leave it at that. Okay? So the whole city came out. And I would like to think that when they came out and they said, "Here, you're here. The Messiah has arrived. We want to receive you. Come in. Teach us. Come into our lives. Show us how to live. Do whatever you need to do. We're yours. Tell us what you want us to do." That's not what happened. You're here today, and I suspect the great majority of us have received Christ. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ came to you, and you may have turned him away once or twice or so on, but at some point in time, you said, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good language. The Bible says in John 1:12, to as many as received him. That means you said to him, come into my life. Now, don't minimize that decision. It is an instantaneous decision, but it's not an easy decision. Because when you ask Jesus to come into your life, what you're saying is, you're going to kill some pigs. You're going to take some things out of my life. Maybe something I love, I'm going to have to give up because of you. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the best decision you could ever make. So the Bible has examples of people that did good things that are good examples. This is not one of those. The Bible also has examples of people that did the wrong thing. These are examples to avoid. That's what this is. He says in verse 34, when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. In a polite language, please leave. A less polite language, get out. A more direct thought, we don't want you. Our pigs are dead and you did it. And that's the position the world takes today. The world wants its pigs more than it wants Christ. Can you see how foolish that is? Now be careful. The devil knows how to dress up a pig. I read an article. There are places you can go and swim with pigs. I have no idea why someone wants to swim with a pig, but if you want to do it, you can. I saw a thing on TV the other day. They had puppies, little puppies, cute little puppies. And then there was a little pig there too running around. Okay, I guess. But think about this. The devil knows how to dress up sin too, doesn't he? That young person, the devil knows how to dress up sin. And the devil knows what you want, doesn't he? Oh, pastor, if I could just do what the rest of the kids do. They have so much fun. Yeah, wallowing in the pig mud might be good for a little while. After a while, it's going to get you. Sooner or later, the pigs are going to bite you. In fact, pigs will eat you if they get the chance. Oh, but it looks like fun, pastor, and I'd be happy if I had that. Yep, that's what these people said. We don't want you, Jesus. We sure did like our pigs. We really haven't got time for you. We got to go find the new herd. Oh, it's nice that these two men are no longer possessed with demons, but we were willing to put up with that because we really liked our pigs. I just got to ask you the question. It's rather obvious. Do you choose Jesus or do you want the pigs? Amen? Now, we can glamorize that. And here's what I mean by that statement. I can say, oh, I want Jesus. But then the next time the pig walks in the door, what are you going to do? Wow, what a cute pig. Nope. It's Jesus or the pigs. Amen? Amen. You can have Christ or you can have your sin. And the devil is going to spend most of his time with you Christians, us Christians, showing us the decorated pigs. If you had that pig, you'd be happy. No, if I had Jesus, I'd be happy. Amen? Because you know what? The devil has sold me a few pigs, and I found out something. Pigs end up causing a lot of pain. Pigs end up causing a lot of misery. Sin, if I can just speak plainly, the wages of sin is death. The devil puts the billboard up. They've almost stopped doing this now because it finally dawned on them. But anyway, the billboard up of the guy smoking the cigarette, not the patient with lung cancer. The devil puts the billboard up of the people drinking beer on the beach, not the accident where 10 people died because a drunk driver was going the wrong way on the freeway. Or the home that was broken. Or the guy laying next to the toilet all night because he was too drunk to go back to bed. The devil puts the picture up of the attractive model rather than the person that has the consequences of immorality destroying their life from the inside out. Folks, the wages of sin is death. That's why the demon-possessed people hung around with dead people, because the wages of sin is death. What do you want? You want the pigs, the demons, or do you want the Lord Jesus Christ? Now you can make a decision. And somebody says, I definitely want Jesus because obviously the pigs are a bad idea. Just got to remind you, it's not a momentous decision, it's a lifelong decision. It happens in a moment, but it should last a lifetime. And it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for one thing. When you make that decision, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ will come live in your heart. And you will look at that pig and you'll go, that looks good. And the Holy Spirit will say, no, it doesn't. And you got to make a decision, amen? Folks, it's just that simple. When you decide, next time you say, I don't have time for my Bible, I don't have time for church, I think I'll indulge in this sin. You're just choosing the pigs. I think Jesus is worth more than the pigs. Amen? Amen. No pig died on the cross for your sins. No pig is going to do you any good at all. But the Lord Jesus Christ can make your life worth living now and in eternity. It's astounding. After the preaching in chapters 5 and 6 and 7, the miracles in chapter 8, and we come to the end of the chapter, it's time for somebody to make a decision, and the people said, go away. We don't want you. What decision have you made? Let's stand and pray.